Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unified Caring, Caring Moments podcast. UCA Caring knows no bounds. We endeavor to be wherever caring is needed and help create caring communities everywhere. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unified Caring and check out our website, www.unifiedcaring.org, to see the many ways you personally can benefit by becoming a member. And now, here's the show.
Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Caring Moments podcast brought to you by Unified Caring Association, which is a nonprofit organization moving caring forward. That is, I think, a beautiful slogan going into 2021. Now, Lydia Anna joins me today. Prior to share her timely lessons on homeschooling and working from home during COVID. Now, prior to 2020, homeschooling really was a choice for many parents who felt that the education system was failing their children. Now, what happens, really, what does happen when this choice is taken away and all of a sudden, all of the children across the United States were mandated to learn from home? Were we prepared? Not only was I personally not prepared, but my son, my youngest child, the school he attends was even less so. So our 2021 school year saw a betterment of online schooling for those who opted to continue to learn from home. While, you know, Illinois is open, but they do have a few different options. And so while the school opened, restrictions and all, for those who wanted to go back to school. Now, since the spring of 2020, many schools are still opting for homeschooling. Now, how has this changed our right livelihood and ensured our children are getting an education that they deserve while missing out on many of the life lessons learned on the schoolyard playground, lunchroom, team sports, and togetherness? Now, Lydia Anna, one of my most favorite people, and I say this, I'm not just because she's on the show, I tell her this whenever I see her. She is one of my most favorite people. She is a mom, she's a team member, an author, and now homeschool teacher who's going to share her success in finding a happy medium juggling home, children, distance learning, and work. Lydia, welcome back to the show. I love it when you're on. I love these stories that you're sharing about finding your way in this new environment. So how are you today, Lydia? Let's just start there. How are you today? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Karen. No, it's wonderful to always talk to you as well. I mean, it's just great to connect about certain things and just see how you're doing. We don't talk enough, so I'm really happy to say hi and check in, and I'm really happy to be here on the show. I'm really excited the direction the show's going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being
here. Pretty good. Thank you. Yeah, to answer your question, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's a big juggling act sometimes, and honestly, sometimes I don't know exactly what I'm juggling. But somehow through all this, I managed to learn a few things. So I'd be happy to share those few things I've learned.
Right. Right. Yeah, cause, you know, prior to, it's like you're juggling oranges, and then all of a sudden somebody throws in a plate, and you got to add the plate to your oranges, and it kind of throws the whole thing off, right?
Yeah.
And they all fall down sometimes. Yeah. Exactly. All right, so I know in Illinois, which is where I'm located, things are done a little bit differently than what's going on with the California mandate. So, and I know that you have two children. One is in independent study, and your youngest is, refresh my memory.
My youngest is 10, and he's still in the public school system. Yeah, I took my daughter out when she went in October, actually, when it looked like they weren't going back to in-person learning. And I think in general, it was maybe a good move to have more flexibility with curriculum, doing an independent study for her. But they were definitely better at that sort of distance learning because they were already doing independent learning. So I think that was a good move. But yeah, my son is still, he's 10 and he's still in the public school system. So they are not currently doing in person for everybody. There are a few options to do some a little bit in person here and there. But yeah, that's, quite frankly, I'm just trying to wait till everybody goes back to have him go back. We tried, because he has an IEP, we tried getting him into doing school, like the little learning hubs they do that are small groups, last time they reopened. And then he went back with everybody else when everybody else opened, and it messed up his schedule. So he's had even more schedule changes than other kids. Because I've tried my best to get him to do in-person learning as much as possible. So that just hasn't been helpful for our family and or for him. So at this point, I'm
right.
Like, okay, let's make sure what's going forward is at least just the same amount of changes other kids are going through. If you shut down, it's not going to impact them too much. You know, because I've built in structures, and it took a lot of effort and time and, like, this whole year to kind of figure out how to get in basic learning, like reading and writing, checking in with my daughter to make sure she's doing what she needs to do. I mean, she's gotten a job during all this, so she has something to do, learning some self-reliance. I mean, we've worked really hard to make these structures, and I'm not going to just give them up because school says they're going to open again, maybe for how long, I don't know. So I'm a little
I love that.
A little over it.
Good for you. I love you. I do. I love that. I love you too, but I mean, I absolutely love
me too.
That. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that is absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, I hope that more parents do the same thing, right? Because I have an interesting situation because I have a international student who opted to stay home, right? He's lived with me
mm-hmm.
for 3 years now, and this year he opted to stay home and not go to school. My son needs that interaction, and he did not fare well when it was when they just said, okay, here's your lessons for the week. Do them, and they're due by 11:59, you know, p.m. on Sunday night, right? And there
mm-hmm.
was no teacher. There was no interaction mm-hmm. between the school and the student. I mean, when I said it, they were less prepared. Believe me, they were less prepared. And some of the kids who wound up, they host kids from all over the place. Some of the kids who are that were, once they got back home, they were unable to come back to the United States, all of it due to their home country mm-hmm. and COVID and our country and COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's different everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
politics.
What a
mm-hmm.
thing, you know? And, well, no, just different cultures and being able to experience that
okay.
firsthand, right? So, a
yeah,
lot of the
yeah.
students that go to the school from other countries were unable to come back, right? But what they're doing now, and I feel, you know, these teachers, you know, kudos to them, you know, because now these kids, because of wherever they are, they're like 8, 12, 14 hours ahead of where, time-wise, the state of Illinois is on Central Time.
Right.
So these are American teachers.
Kids that are stuck in other countries. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to be clear. Like, these are American kids that were in a study abroad program that weren't able to come back?
No, these are the kids who were studying in the United States from other countries.
Okay. They weren't able to actually come back here. Okay, I see.
Right.
Okay, go on. Thank you.
Yes, because they have to go home during the summer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but because everything was up in the air with COVID, the ones that went home were unable to come back. Now, my student worked it out so that he wasn't going to go home and he was just going to stay because he knew he wasn't coming back. And he didn't want to be at midnight in his home country doing his homework.
So they're still doing school online with the American kids in their respective countries.
No, like German kids, Chinese kids, Vietnamese kids, Japanese children. The school has kids from basically every single country. Well, not every single, but a lot of countries coming to the United States, and then they learn get an American education. And then they will, like, go back home and, you know, it's part of their, you know, it's a big deal to be from another country in another country to have gone to school in the United States. But right now
it is so
weird, you know, for them. So I do have one at home, and he's a senior this year. And then I have a junior who is back in school. So there is a lot of difference in how, you know, as a parent, because I have to give the test to my student, whereas my son can go into school and take the test. So now I am giving the test to the student, making sure he's not using anything, and then I am signing off and sending it back, you know. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that is on how to learn, and I'm still learning in this process, even though, you know.
That's a lot to do.
Yeah, because, you know, number one, you got to be on his homework, just because that's just, you know, a lot of the typical teenagerness. But then the other one, every time he has a test, you have to sit there and give it to him as if you are his teacher, and you have to watch him. So, you know, it's different.
Yeah. It's difficult, and I thank God that my son has had this individualized education plan, his IEP, because if he had to do what the other kids are doing, I don't know how I would handle it. Like, these other kids in his class are on at least 8:30 to 12:30, and that's a long time. And I mean, I'm sure the teacher, she's great, and she makes allowances, like, maybe, you know, perhaps, I don't know, but for my son, it's like, well, he's not going to sit still and look at a screen for all this amount of time. So we make it work so he can get on and off and take breaks and or whatever it has to be, or he's on for a certain amount of time and we agree upon it. But and one of the reasons I got my daughter out of the high school is because she had like 3 or 4 Zoom meetings, depending on the day. There were 3 or 4 Zoom meetings and she was missing them, and I was getting calls from the school, your child was absent. I'm like, 2 or 3 calls, I'm like, you know, a week. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, my child is here at home, and I'm getting these calls that she's absent, and I was over it. And she does not have an IEP, so there was no actual, like, give and take or support for her when she was struggling. It was just very, almost, I hate to use the word dystopian, but that's just kind of how it feels, like technology right into your home. This is what you have to do. You have to be sitting here. It's like we're being told what to do in our home. And it's just, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it, you know, the whole idea of technology being so involved in our lives right now, it's interesting. And I think it needs to be handled with care, to say the least. I think we really need to balance it with other things, choose what technology we're going to use, choose what technology you're going to let your kids use and when. I'm not saying don't use it, because obviously, like, it's very important, very good, but it's just, it's the hard way to make your life easier. So that's kind of my 2 cents on that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because here it is, you know, and if you are a parent who works outside of the home, and you're now working, if you're fortunate enough to be working from home, you're also doing your own work, but then supervising the work of your child. And, you know, mm-hmm. Zoom meetings all day long, I don't think it's good for anybody. Sitting is the new cancer, they say. But I don't know that Zoom meetings are really, and I realize people are doing the very best that they can with hopefully the best interest of the child in mind, right? But mm-hmm. as a parent, right. it has to be, you know, how did you find this balance with what you're doing with two different age group children, number one, two different schools, and two different philosophies with studying and testing and everything like that, along with mm-hmm. working, being a mom, mm-hmm. and, you know, plus everything else that goes on in your in the life of a mom. You know, moms well, really are great. They do so much for so many. But so how did you seek what was the final purpose for you to say, okay, everybody needs balance in this household?
Well, I would say that the key to all this, and this is something that UCA is really focused on, especially for kids, is resilience. You know, paying attention to those root things that matter most in life, and that's how do you feel daily? How are you checking? Are you checking in with how you feel? Are you checking in with how your heart is feeling? Are you breathing? Are you being interactive with your sibling? Are you talking to me? Are you communicating? Are we touching on these really important points? And then you can build out from there. I've had to talk to my daughter's EF, which is like the overseeing teacher, many times, like, hey, we need to just, you know, kind of slow down on this whole academic thing and make sure that her mental health is doing well. And, you know, we've had some struggles with depression, and it's not easy. And she has more responsibility on her too. So as far as being home and making, and, you know, I've leaned on her to help me with household things. I've leaned on her to help me with her brother. You know, she's going to be 16, so she helps out with her brother. Sometimes I go to work and she's here watching him, or he's got somebody else, a professional that works with him, coming in while she's here. But it's always her. She's my default for support in the family. And I think that checking in with those, you know, how are you doing? Is this okay? If it's not working, you know, I've got to be home more. It's always just keeping a constant focus on how are you doing inside, because I think that's where you come. If you come from a place of you're feeling okay every day, and you're, I mean, you might not be super happy, it might not be the greatest day, but if you can feel okay with where you're at, feel content with the progress you're making, it really helps. So, the idea of resilience, I think, starts there. It's like with your emotional well-being, mm-hmm. And I have used the Moonbud and the Somebody cards with my kids that we have at UCA that we're giving out to Feed the Children and other Boys and Girls Clubs. So those go in their little lunch kits and stuff, and their little backpacks all over the country now. So people can look at, you know, emotions right now and learn how to put a word to an emotion. And I think it's so important to build those tools, because everything else can just fall apart for all I care if we're not feeling okay. And I mean, you have to have a balance. Like, yeah, some days I'm going to push through with a little bit of stress, or I'm going to be like, hey, you guys got to get this done. It's not like, oh, you know, like all this woo-woo stuff, like everything's just fine, you know, we're just zen meditating all the time. No, we have our stressful moments.
Wouldn't that be nice if that's what it was, you know? Sometimes the woo-woo world and meditating all the time seems like a great, great escape just for like a half hour in a day. You know?
Yeah,
I do. I get that.
Totally.
I do get that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it is
right now, it's all about the children. It's what about the children? How are these children going to learn the lessons that they need to in life when they can't interact with anybody. One of the saddest pictures I've ever seen, and I truly wanted, my heart was so broken. It truly was. It was broken. It was a picture of little kids, like kindergarten, grade school age, sitting in a six-foot circle all by themselves, just sitting there.
Mm. Well, right? It is weird. And, you know, I don't think that we need to follow all the rules all the time, personally. I mean, I'm you know, respect. You know, there's an element of respect, you know, respect that these are, you know, our leaders are saying these things. Oh, maybe we should wear two or three masks now. I don't know. Like, I respect that that's what they're saying, but I think that we have a choice and individual freedom of how to integrate what the government is saying that we do. Like, we have a right to literally homeschool your children if you, I mean, there's a way you do it legally. There's ways, and I think that as an American, we have a lot more freedoms than, say, what's going on in Britain or Ireland or other countries, first world countries. Some of the countries have handled it great, like Sweden. But as an American, we have constitutional rights. You know, we do have the right to gather. So, I mean, we have this constitution designed by, you know, the Iroquois Indians who had it. They had developed this long before America ever became a country. So these ideals of democracy and having rights are inherent to our land, to our culture. I don't see that it's going to take a huge hold in our society. There was a time when I was like afraid that, you know, this, we would just become Autobots, an Autobot society. But I don't feel that that's going to be our future. I feel like there is hope to just, you know, kind of laugh about this, get through it. You know, there is a pandemic, obviously, but what are we sacrificing in order to supposedly stay well, you know, on science that maybe isn't completely proven? So I think we really need to look at what our ancestors may have done in these situations, what they did do. Even look back as far as, like, I started studying the history of the public school system. I'm like, how long have we been doing this? Like, public school, like, it hasn't been a thing for, like, hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, it's kind of relative how we look at things right now. It's like, how did parents teach their kids? How did we have community before, you know, we were kind of segmented into these 9-to-5, you know, mentality? Like, there's a million ways to skin the cat is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of ways to live. There's a lot of ways to learn. And we just need to find what works for ourselves and our community right now, because we can't take the letter of the law coming from our governor or whoever, I mean, the president. We can't take the letter of the law. We have to take it in the spirit. And that's what we have to do as individuals. We have to find what works for us. So that's what I'm doing. It's literally a day-to-day process, and sometimes it, one day looks completely different than the next, because I have to adapt, and that's just what we're doing right now. We're adapting. We're not adapting to something that was. The nature of adaptation is to go into something new. You know, like, and I'm not saying a new normal, because, like, I don't think normal exists. I never have, but I'm saying, like, there's something new going on here. How do we hold on? What do we want to hold on to? What do we want to bring into this new world? And I think the values of, like, valuing what our children can contribute, diversity, you know, are really important things to allow in this new world. Like, my son is autistic. My daughter might have ADD. I'm not sure. But I want there to be room for them to be themselves. You know, my son is autistic, very high functioning, but he's different. The public school system, like, honestly, it doesn't work that great for him. He has a totally different way of learning. So how can I take advantage of that to help him right now? I mean, there's huge opportunities to change your life exactly the way you want to right now. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm just tired of the doom and gloom, and I want to make my life better. You know?
Exactly. And, you know, it is difficult when things are changing so often, but when you find what is working, you know, even if it's an on the fly thing, if it works,
mm-hmm.
you know, let it work. And you know, whatever it is that you know, that our children need. You know, we got to make sure that we are fulfilling that obligation as parents, because you touched on it just briefly, and we don't have as much time to go into this one as I was, that I would really, really love to, and I will, you know, you'll have to come back so we can talk to this. And this is about the depression in children at an alarming rate of what is going on. So this is where I get
you
to.
You can't take away
what,
a social structure and not give them something else. You know, it's just ridiculous. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So
it is our responsibility as parents to work that in. Go see your friends.
Yes.
You know?
It is our responsibility to make sure that that is not, you know, that we need to notice. You know, we oftentimes, and I do know parents who, sadly, the children aren't, you know, it's like you figure it out. You're a teenager. You figure it out. You know, we don't do that.
Who don't let their kids see anybody, you know, until they get a vaccine or something. I mean, that's just this to me, that's ridiculous, but it, to each their own right now. I can't judge anyone for the way they react to the situation, but I'm over that, you know, and I'm not going to be doing that anymore.
Oh, exactly.
The beginning of things was traumatizing. Yeah. Stay home, wash your groceries, you know, wear 800 masks. Whatever it is, but I'm like, okay, it's not that as serious as people first, you know. I don't think there's people dropping dead in the street, so let's take it into consideration. There's a lot more going on here that we have to think about. Like, we can't just be stuck in that place of fear anymore. There's other things that being fearful are creating, like anxiety, like depression. It's far worse than how COVID might manifest in my daughter. The depression could be far worse. It's, for example, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to think about these things.
We do. We need to think about these things. And I love that so many families are getting the cards. I absolutely love that, because those are things that, you know, my parents were great. I love my parents. I would, you know, but the thing about, you know, the feelings, and, you know, they would understand if you are upset, but, you know, there wasn't really anything to teach me how to deal with what I was feeling, right?
And the cards, I think, are great.
Yeah. Yeah, the cards, they help the children be able to acknowledge what they're put some sort of something to how they're feeling. And I think that is so important, because that's the first step into building a healthy, stable, emotional base for the children, is if they could, you know, is learning these cards, right?
It's the most important thing right now, I think, is just like being in touch with how you're feeling. And if you can find a place where you feel okay, you can start to move forward. And, you know, the cards help. I just sit at the table with, it's different with each kid. My son uses a sunbed, my daughter uses the moon bed, but it's a little awkward with my daughter. Like, okay, here, we're going to talk about this feeling. And she's like, you know, she's a teenager, but it does sort of get things turning, and it does bring things up. My son's much more interested in it, but you know, it's a
important
icebreaker, like a game can be, you know. It's just it's a healthy way to start a conversation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Lydia, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what you are doing for your children. I think that is a phenomenal thing, and I know that your children are going to be very strong to get through whatever else unfolds in their life, just based on the foundation that you're laying now. And I'd love to have you back again. I really would.
Thank you. To talk about with
children and depression and things like, because I think that is probably one of the bigger issues. The teen suicide rate is off the charts, but And I want to see how we can maybe shed some light on that. I would love that if you're up to it.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love to do that. We can definitely talk about emotional well-being right now. Probably like the number one important thing for families to do.
Perfect.
So, yeah, thank you.
It is. Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for your time today. I always appreciate when you can carve out 30 minutes for me out of your very, very busy day. So thank you so much, and I look forward to talking with you again. You enjoy the rest of your week and have a fabulous weekend, darling. Thank you so much.
Okay, you too. All right, take care.
All right,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that is a wrap for today. Hope you enjoyed listening to some timely tips, and hopefully something was able to help you think about adding something just a little into your mix with your kids. All right. Stay safe, be well, until next time.